special needs, and we put our full trust in Him. This evening is our call to worship that I'm going to use from the section 85, and I'm going to use 24a, and we talk about liberty, and we have liberty within this nation, and we're going to celebrate its birthday on the 4th of July, which is this coming Friday, and we have that freedom and to be able to express ourselves and so forth. But there's also liberty within the spirit and within the guidelines that the Lord has put forth. And so in section 85:24a, it says these words: "Abide ye in the liberty wherewith ye are made free. Entangle not yourselves in sin, but let your hands be clean until the Lord come." And it goes on, if we continue to read, it talks about the things that will be coming upon the earth, and the things that we need to be prepared spiritually, that will not be in any way taken by surprise, and be able to overcome those things that the Lord has called us to do. We're going to open our service this evening by singing hymn number 41, and we'll stand for this hymn, and then I will have the invocation. Most gracious and loving Father in heaven, we come in the beautiful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We come in his name, Father, that we may be lifted up in the spirit of your holiness. Oh, Father, we come asking that you forgive us our sins and our trespasses, that we may be made clean, O Father, in our worship with Thee, that we may become a sanctified people, and that we would seek only righteousness for the sake of Zion and for your kingdom. We pray, O Father, the outpouring of Thy Spirit would be with our brother Bob as he shares in the ministry of the spoken word this evening. We pray that as we have come, that we've come, O Father, in a great desire to be your people and to fulfill, O Lord, the purpose for which you've created within each of us. And so we then ask, O Father, that you would attend us with thy mercy and with thy grace, and help us, O Lord, in our weakness to become strong. And we ask this blessing in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Is from the book of Malachi. Maybe it's because of my advanced age, but I become more appreciative, seems like, of the Old Testament as years go by. There's a lot of great information to be found in the Old Testament. Sometimes you have to kind of sort through some other things, but there's a lot of good information. This is taken from chapter 3. Of Malachi, and I'll start at 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Thank you.
I'd like to acknowledge the appreciation that I have for being able to be here with you again this evening. The privilege that I have of serving the Lord and you dear saints. And for being able to serve with some good brothers here. And others of you, of course, in the congregation. I sometimes wonder how I should approach this. I believe I've had some direction in selecting a topic this evening. I'm not sure if the Lord has given that to me or if it's just the workings of my own mind, but in any case, I'll give the Lord credit for it and hope for the best. The thought came to my mind some time back about the refiner's fire. It's kind of a fascinating topic. And there's quite a lot written in the scriptures about the refining effect that the Lord can have on our lives. I have another scripture I want to read here from Isaiah. This is from Isaiah 48. And I'll start at verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Prophet speaking, of course, of the mercy of the Creator. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I'm also the last. This tells us a lot here in these few verses. He talks of the chosen. And in the Bible, chosen means not just to be selected or being named or something like that. It means chosen after testing, after being tried. You probably are familiar with the scripture that says that many are chosen, but few, what's the word? Yes, thank you. But that explains that. It's chosen after testing. It's not just a matter of selection or naming. Being chosen is actually a process. Being chosen may take some time. In talking about refining, I think of oil refineries. My oldest brother worked in an oil refinery most of his life and told me a little about the procedure of refining crude oil. Crude oil is not terribly useful until it's refined. It's made into different fuels, lubricants, all kinds of different products. You can look on a lot of labels and it'll say petroleum products. So there are a lot of useful things that come out of crude oil. And it's not for the benefit of that crude oil that is refined. That's not the point. It's what can come out of that crude oil, what can be produced through the refining. So many people and services, of course, are blessed by the refining of oil and, of course, many other products. So we ourselves are refined for God's sake and glory. It's not just for us. As we read in these Old Testament scriptures, this refining process is for God's sake and glory. He, in turn, blesses us wonderfully. And, you know, many times we preachers stand before people and tell people how they can improve themselves, or we can improve ourselves. But in this case, we cannot refine ourselves. We can't do that. We do not have the power, the talent to refine ourselves. So how do we become refined? We allow Almighty God and His Son, Jesus the Christ, to refine us. And I've learned after years of attempting to serve the Lord that the best thing I can do is to allow Him to use me. I'm sure you brethren the priesthood would agree with that. So, the Lord doesn't force us to be refined. We know that He has given us the privilege of making our own decisions and what we do and what we refrain from doing. But they call and invite us to become truly refined disciples. In our trials, we can become bitter and hard-hearted, or we can, through the Lord's blessings, leadings, directions, become refined, true disciples of the Christ. I'll read now from the book of Luke. This is the 22nd chapter. Start at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift the children of the kingdom as wheat. So evidently, the Lord had some real serious plans for Peter, for the Apostle Peter, for his responsibilities in the future. And then he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now we've puzzled over that many times. What did the Lord really mean here? Surely Peter, after having followed and served with the Lord for some years, was surely converted to his message, to his teachings, in the way we usually think about converting. But in the Bible, in this place at least, converting means to be repentant. Being converted means becoming repentant. And Peter needed repenting. Peter was a pretty rough gem. He was a diamond in the rough, we might say. He had faults, weaknesses. He was overly outspoken sometimes. He was overly aggressive. He had some faults. He was not a refined individual. And the Lord Jesus Christ had plans for Peter. He had a need for someone to function in his church after he left, after he was crucified and resurrected and left this sphere of influence. And Peter was, or at least became, what we would today call a go-to guy. He was the one that spoke up when any question came up. When any problem came up, the others would turn to Peter and say, Peter, what shall we do? What are we going to do here? And at that time, Peter was not qualified to handle those kind of situations. He needed to be refined. And Jesus knew how to refine Peter and make him what he needed to be. And strengthening your brethren. That's interesting, isn't it? Become converted or repentant. Strengthen your brethren. We don't usually think of our repentance as being strong necessarily. We see it as a necessary thing to do when we are in sin. We found that we have sinned. We need to repent. And even there, we have to depend on the Lord's blessing to become forgiven. Just our repenting is not good enough. Repentance is actually a gift from God. And by doing this, Jesus said, when you have really repented, you will be able to strengthen your brethren, because they need repentance also. And Peter, he said unto him, being aggrieved. Peter was kind of hurt about this, because the Lord spoke to him pretty severely sometimes, really got on his case on occasion in his effort to refine him. And he said unto him, being aggrieved, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both into prison and unto death. And the Lord said, I tell you, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before that you will thrice deny that you know me. Peter really meant it when he said that he would die for the Lord. I have no doubt of that. He said he would go into prison and unto death for the Lord. Peter meant that. But that's not what Jesus needed from Peter. He needed for Peter to become refined and to take over certain responsibilities in Christ's church, which he had established on this earth. Peter is one of these guys who he's valuable both as a good and a bad example. We can point to his weaknesses and that sort of thing and say we need to be better. But soon after this this event, good old Peter was with the Lord and the other apostles when they went to the garden, and this armed mob came out to take Jesus into custody to arrest him. We know that story, don't we? Peter grabbed a sword and attacked this mob. I mean, it was foolhardy. It sounds like it was certainly a much larger group than the Christ and his followers. And they were armed with swords and staves, the scriptures say. But Peter, in his zeal and his good desire to protect the Lord, grabbed a sword and attacked him. And you know, when you analyze this, I think the Lord had this planned all along anyway, this whole event. Scriptures tell us that before this happened, and he and the apostles were going out, that he asked them, do we have swords? Didn't that sound odd, coming from Jesus? And they said, we have two. He said, that's enough. No further comment. But he needed that sword in the hands of one, Peter, to teach him another lesson, to further refine the Apostle Peter. Peter attacked one of these people that had come to arrest Jesus, and not being a swordsman, being a fisherman, he was pretty awkward with it, and succeeded only slicing off an ear of one of these individuals. I don't know about you, but I've always been kind of puzzled by that. How you cut somebody's ear off without, you know, taking his head off or chopping an arm off or something? Well, I think I figured it out. In his awkwardness, Peter kind of slapped him on the upside of the head, actually, with that sword, and just glanced off and zipped off his ear. And of course, Jesus, as we know, we all know that story, he took the ear and stuck it back on and healed the man and reprimanded Peter for his violence. Another lesson for Peter in his refinement. So we know that after that, Jesus was taken to the high priest's house and held as a captive there. And guess who tagged along and showed up? Good old faithful Peter. Scriptures don't say, but we presume that none of the other apostles showed up there, but Peter did. I'm sure he didn't know what he was going to do, but he was concerned about his Lord and Master Jesus, and so he showed up there. And we know how he was warming himself with the fire and was accused a couple of times of being a follower of this Jesus, who is now a captive. And he denied that, of course. And again, you see, Jesus had prophesied this whole situation. He had set the whole thing up ahead of time. Part of the refining of Peter, preparing him for the service. And we know, according to the scriptures, that Peter denied knowing Jesus or having anything to do with him three times. Then he heard the rooster crow, and he went out, and the scriptures say he wept bitterly. Peter needed that. That wasn't just a coincidence, a happenstance that this happened. Peter needed to repent. He needed to cry bitterly. He's a big, tough guy, you know, Peter. I'm sure he didn't go around crying about things. But he needed that. He was humbled. He was repentant. And so Jesus continued to refine the Apostle Peter. I have another scripture here from John, 21st chapter. We'll start with 14. Well, we'll start a little earlier. This is the occasion when the apostles were out fishing, and they saw someone on shore. They didn't know who it was at first, but he spoke to them, and they finally realized it was the Lord. He was over on the shore and had some fish, and he was cooking some fish for him. And guess who jumped into the water and swam ashore? Good old Peter. He was overjoyed to see the Lord again. And you know, I have to go back to the occasion when Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter asked to go out and be able to walk with him, and he did for a ways, and they started to sink, and cried out for help, and Jesus held him up. Peter wasn't afraid of drowning. Peter was a good swimmer. Why was he asking for the Lord to help him? I think Peter was afraid that he was losing his faith. That's why he called on the Lord to hold him up, get him out of that water. Another one of the refining efforts of the Lord on the Apostle Peter. But this was the third time that Jesus had showed himself to the apostles, showing that he was indeed alive, that he had been resurrected. We'll start with verse 14 here. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that when he had risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, Jonas, pardon me, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. That was a pretty personal question, wasn't it? Asking Peter, and I presume in the company of the other people. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Even after death, Jesus has come back to do the final refining work on the Apostle Peter. He still needed a little more. And this was rather humiliating to Peter, to be asked twice if he loved the Lord. I'm sure all of those men loved the Lord, and he knew that, and they all knew that. But here he's asked twice, Do you love me? And each time he answered, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, as you might imagine. He's already answered twice. Said, Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. The final refining act for the Apostle Peter. He's telling Peter that just loving him is not enough. More is expected of Peter than just loving his Lord. He is told to feed my sheep. I'm sure Peter got the message because Peter did feed the Lord's sheep. He worked very hard for the rest of his life in feeding the Lord's sheep. He had become refined. He'd finally become qualified to serve the Lord in that way. So Peter did feed the Lord's sheep in various ways. Now he still feeds us through the scriptures that he's written, through the example that he has given us over the many years. You know, you read 1 and 2 Peter, you couldn't find a kinder, gentler passage of Scripture than you find in 1 and 2 Peter. Doesn't sound like the old Peter at all. No outrageous statements, no yelling and shouting and condemning and that sort of thing. Very kind and gentle. Very kind and gentle comments and commandments that he's given. Much different from the Peter before his refining. There are many scriptures that tell us about this refining situation. And there was the time when after the Christ had risen, and he had appeared a couple of times to the disciples, that a group of his followers were getting together, and you remember this occasion. And he was there to, again, to refine, to encourage his followers, his disciples, in their work. And even after that, the people were still a little uncertain about what they would do. It doesn't say who asked the question. It just sort of said they asked then, after Jesus had left them, "Meaning, brethren, what shall we do?" They still didn't know. Guess who spoke up? Good old Peter. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And just after that was the day of Pentecost. What was it? 3,000 souls were baptized in one day because they obeyed the Lord's commands, and Peter repeating those commands to be baptized, to repent and be baptized. So that refinement continued. Peter is feeding the sheep along with the other apostles who have taken heart now and have the courage and the determination to continue the Lord's work. And when we read about what those apostles did in years to come, it's just amazing, isn't it, what they accomplished. They couldn't be stopped. The religious authorities threatened to kill them. And we know on one occasion at least that one of the apostles was stoned to death for teaching about Jesus. Couldn't stop them. They could not be stopped. They carried the work throughout the known world at that time. And it wasn't until a number of years later that that a fact of Jesus' work and ministry and his death and resurrection kind of wore off, you might say, and people started, I suppose, forgetting. But there's another scripture I'd like to conclude with that tells us about this this refining process. That's James, the first chapter. James, I understand, was indeed the brother, the natural brother of Jesus. And he was referred to on one occasion at least as an apostle. Some of the historians have said that He was not a follower of Jesus while Jesus was alive and active on the earth, but I don't know if that's true or not, but at least at this time, he was highly respected and was one of the leaders of the church when he wrote this general epistle of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Sounds like kind of an official greeting, doesn't it? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many afflictions. And that puzzled me for a long time, perhaps have you too, and I finally decided I'd try to understand what that meant. Why should we be joyful for having many afflictions? Well, the next verse kind of explains that. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When he said afflictions, what he meant was with trials. Trials can be afflictions, can't they? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I looked up patience in the concordance. Patience there means endurance. Endurance. Handling trials gives you endurance, makes you stronger, makes you tougher, more able to handle these trials. One of my little personal sayings is, it's not the trials that are so significant, it's how you handle those trials, how you react to them, how you recover from those trials. And there, verse 4 says this, but let patience have its perfect work. And perfect in the Bible, in this instance at least, means complete. Perfect means complete. Have its complete work that you may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. Four different ways there of saying the same thing, that little short verse. They tell me, the scholars do, that in the old Hebrew writing, that was to emphasize. Repeating is to emphasize a point and to show how important that point is. So four different ways of saying the same thing. Let patience or endurance have its perfect or complete work that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In looking out at you, dear folks, I don't see anyone that I think is probably needing the refining effect of the furnace of affliction. But it talks about also Fuller's soap, which is not nearly as severe a procedure as a burning fires. I think probably if we, or when we look at ourselves, we could see that maybe if we don't need the burning fire of affliction for refinement, perhaps we could use a little Fuller's soap. I would certainly admit that I need at least some Fuller's soap in order to become refined. So let's go ahead, folks, and perhaps become a little more refined in the days to come. I think the Lord reasonably expects us of us as saints, as disciples of His. So may God bless us. And remember, this is something we don't have to really do for ourselves. The Lord does it. He has the power, and He knows how to do it. We just have to allow Him to do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for that inspiring message this evening. And we desire that we will submit ourselves to be refined. We want to close our service this evening by singing 170. We'll stand for this hymn, and Brother Bob Schrunk will share in the benediction. 170. Father, what a joy it has been this day to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we have listened to our brother this night talk about refining, repenting, and coming unto you, and let those thoughts and words sink deep, Father, into our souls, to our hearts. Even that we might settle on this, that to be refined, to be repentant, to be readied for your work, for your kingdom, for your Zion. So we pray that blessing upon each one. Father, we continue to remember those of our number who are not with us this night for various reasons. And Father, we hold them up unto you for choicest blessing of comfort and healing in their lives. And might we be led unto those, even this next week, to offer ministry in any way that we can. So, Father, we love you. We desire to serve you all the days of our lives. Might we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our paths. So we thank you, Father. We love you. We offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.